Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
I signed for them after the Euros. And after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking, regretting it. What have I done? Like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Phil Egan is here for Deal or No Deal. Phil, how are you?
Well, how are you doing, Ger?
Feeling the pressure yet?
I don't know. It's still early days, but one of these big deals has hit a bit of a snag.
Is it the 10th of October before this closes?
Yeah.
So August, September, the 10th of October. We have 8 weeks of this left.
I know. Better pace myself. But if you think...
10 weeks.
The Premier League season starts on the 12th of September. Bundesliga, as I know we'll be talking about that in a minute, that starts on the 18th of September. You want to get the deals done quickly because you want to get these players a pre-season. Especially nowadays, you're not getting your pre-season tour. It really has to be done on the training ground. You can do friendlies, obviously, but you can't do the whole pre-season tour the way clubs have done over the last few seasons.
Andy Mitten was breaking news and dropping truth bombs on Off the Ball last night. He said that neither a transfer fee nor personal terms have been agreed between Manchester United, Jadon Sancho and Borussia Dortmund. If Manchester United don't get Jadon Sancho, and it looks like, you know, there's certainly a little bit of brinkmanship going on at the moment, will it be a massive flop on their part? Or is it a sign of progress that they're no longer being held to ransom by agents, 20-year-olds and Germans?
This is classic Manchester United. They love a transfer saga. You think back to Paul Pogba in 2016. Eventually it got done. You know, you think to Harry Maguire. Yeah. And, you know, we spent weeks talking about what kind of price they were going to pay. And ultimately they end up paying the price that they were named or given at the start of the summer. So I think there's going to be something similar along the lines of this deal with Borussia Dortmund and United and Jadon Sancho. 120 million euro is what Dortmund want. United are thinking, we've got 90. And they've got to try and meet, whether it's in the middle. But this deal has been talked about being in instalments. So Manchester United can afford this. So are they going to just drag it out and not pay and then eventually pay and think if they had done it earlier, they could have had Sancho on the books a lot earlier?
Well, that's what they did with Harry Maguire. That's essentially what they've done with every transfer all the way back as, was it Daniel Harris said, all the way back to Berbatov? Or I don't know who made that point, but this is how they do business.
Yeah, and, you know, it hasn't worked as well as other clubs' transfer strategies. We're obviously going to talk about Manchester City. They're getting their deals done quickly. Chelsea already have a few deals done and, you know, they did them early. It just gives you a chance to assess what you're working with before you even head into a pre-season. So we know how good Jadon Sancho is and he's that good. You could sign him on Wednesday and throw him into a team on Saturday and he'd make a huge difference because he's just that talented. But it'd be nice to be able to look at him and see how your other players play alongside him in training. What's the best combination? Because I know you were talking about that with Daniel Harris. What is going to be the front three? You know,
yeah.
Sancho has to be part of it.
100%.
So who are the other two?
Well, and look, they can work that out. Jack Grealish apparently is being offered a new contract worth 100 grand a week. Ooh, he's obviously been watching $1 million. That doesn't sound like enough to keep Jack Grealish happy when he's looking at how much everybody else is getting. However, is this the moment where Manchester United just go, look, whatever about your late night driving and your flip-flops, we're going to get you for 50, 60 million and sign you to a deal and you're going to be cheaper than Jadon Sancho. We'll get Jadon Sancho next year.
Yeah, I mean, this story was going around earlier in the season that they were going to try and sign both players. At one stage, actually, they were talking about signing Sancho, Maddison, Grealish. I didn't know where they were all going to fit in, but I think you're going to have to pay more for Jack Grealish. I talked about this last week, where this is Villa's prize asset. It's not like Dortmund, where Dortmund can get certain types of players if they sell Jadon Sancho. I mean, they signed Haaland, where a lot of clubs were after him.
Yeah,
Villa can't do that. Villa can't attract those kind of players. So they have to make sure that they get as much money for Grealish as possible. And I genuinely feel that they'll price clubs out of Grealish. And it seems like United are the only club in the Premier League that wants Grealish. Is he going to go abroad?
Unlikely. Maybe that's the right move for him. He should think about it, because he might be perfect for him. So give me, out of 10, Jack Grealish to Manchester United.
I'm going to say 4 out of 10.
Okay, and give me, out of 10, Jadon Sancho to Manchester United in August.
Ooh, maybe 7 out of 10.
You think it's still going to happen?
Yeah, and September, I'd be then going up towards 8 or 9. October, will we put it up to 10 for October? Will they get it done? Just before.
Right, okay. So you think it's definitely going to get done. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I just don't think United like being told this is what you have to do.
It's going to get done this week. Like, I mean, it's not just going to be a matter of days that they're talking about here. Like we've seen the situation here where you've had Andy Mitten on the show last night, but you've got, like, a lot of people on Twitter, like Fabrizio Romano seems to be one of the guys who everybody looks to for transfer news. And his latest one is that personal terms are okay. Now, I know that it's always to do with the club, and that is the big sticking point here, but I'd give them a couple of days to actually sort that out. I don't think this one's going to be strung out as long as the last few, because United may actually just realise we're probably going to have to pay it eventually, so let's just do it this week.
Yeah, and also Solskjaer's definitely going to be asked about it tonight after the second leg of that game against LASK. It's going to be one of the first questions he's asked. And he doesn't want to be asked about this week in, week out. And he can say now to Ed Woodward, look, I just finished third with not the greatest team, but
pretty expensive team.
You give me better players and, you know, I can close the gap on that top two.
I think Sebastian Schweinsteiger is an all-time great. That's what I think. So, you know, what do I know, Phil? Ole, what do I know? Right, let's go to some other clubs. Manchester City have signed Ferran Torres. We know this from Valencia in a deal worth a reported 20 million, which seems like a good bit of business for them. It's been reported this morning that City are also about to sign off on the Nathan Aké deal for 41 million. So, you know, whatever they've saved on Ferran Torres, 41 million for Nathan Aké. Is this a sign of a busy window to come? Are they getting all their business done early? Is this the end of things for Manchester City now, Phil?
You would imagine there's more to come, because I certainly think they need more if they want to close the gap on Liverpool, because I'm thinking, even if they had Torres and Aké last season, would they have got closer to Liverpool? Maybe a little bit, but not that much. The problem City have, you look at the teams that beat them, they lost twice to United, they lost twice to Wolves, they lost to Liverpool, they lost to Chelsea. The Norwich and Southampton games were a little bit freaky, but the other teams I mentioned, they all play counter-attack very well when they have to. And that's where City are so vulnerable. City actually had the second best defence in the Premier League, because they obviously own the ball for so much of a game that it's very hard to get it off them. But when you can get at them, they still have problems at full-back. What's their best partnership at central defence? I know the art of defending is not something Pep Guardiola loses sleep over, because his way of defending is, if we have the ball, we can't concede. That's his ideology, or his philosophy of the way they play. That's fine. But if you do get the ball off them and you counterattack them, they're vulnerable. So he needs to get a more stable partnership in central defence, and he needs to get better fullbacks, more reliable fullbacks, cut out those individual costly errors, which in the bigger games against the better teams have been their undoing. And then looking at the top end of the pitch, obviously David Silva's gone. Does that mean he brings Bernardo Silva into that David Silva position? Certainly he's good enough to play there. He technically, you know, just as gifted as David Silva. Then, you know, do you bring Torres in where Mahrez plays? Mahrez, on his day, is excellent. We saw that when he won the league with Leicester, but doesn't deliver week in, week out. And then I've said it before with Aguero, if he's not there, Gabriel Jesus is not like for like. He likes to drift into wider positions and he's just not as prolific. So I think if they need a better backup for Aguero.
Okay, so you think that there's loads more to come from Manchester City. Your prediction is that there will be several other players arriving.
Maybe looking at another two players.
Okay. Liverpool, Premier League champions Liverpool are close to completing a $9 million deal for Betis and Algeria defender Issa Mandi, who's 28. They're also preparing a $10 million bid for Norwich and Northern Ireland left-back Jamal Lewis, who's 22, as they look for cover for Andy Robertson. Some low-key signings, essentially, here. Squad players, anybody capable of making it into the first team? And is this the end of their transfer business?
I think the Lewis one is would be a good signing, because Andy Robertson, they do need cover for him, and they need a natural left-back to cover for him, and not James Milner. Or think back to Liverpool's first game back after the restart. Milner went off, Joe Gomez came on, and again, that same problem where, as a right footer, the natural instinct is to cut inside, where Andy Robertson is constantly up and down that touchline. And Lewis gives you that option. He's got that pace, he's a natural left footer, and he would be a good squad player to have and take a little bit of pressure off Andy Robertson, where you can say, do you know what, we have a home game against a lower division or lower table team. You can sit this one out. We'll let Jamal Lewis in there. And, you know, another player that Klopp wants to sign from a team that's been relegated. We saw the success that Andy Robertson, Gini Wijnaldum, another one, where Klopp looks at these relegated clubs and thinks, what can I take from them? And he turns them into successes.
Okay, so no more signings?
I think if there were... Obviously, Mandy as a centre-half is another one that they've let Lovren go. They have Fabinho if they want to play him as a centre-half. I remember he played the first leg against Bayern Munich a couple of seasons ago in the Champions League because Van Dijk was suspended. But they do need cover there because Matip is injury-prone. He only played 13 games this season. Gomez has picked up the odd knock as well. Gomez is he's the long-term partner in central defence for Virgil van Dijk, but you certainly need cover there. I think Liverpool could do with a better backup goalkeeper, because we saw with the drop-off there, the Atletico Madrid second leg, if Alisson was in goal that night, Liverpool are still in the Champions League. I think the same with the cup game against Chelsea. Adrian, bit of a cult hero at the start of the season,
yeah,
but he ultimately cost them, you know, at the latter end of the season when there was silverware up for grabs.
Out of 10, Alcantara is going to arrive?
This one has been talked about. I'm not so sure about it. Maybe I'll give it a 6.
Okay, all right. Arsenal. Willian has reportedly told friends he is ready to join Arsenal once they get knocked out of the Champions League officially at the weekend, which we know is going to happen more than likely. This, despite the fact that Inter Miami are interested. I can see the attraction of Inter Miami for a couple of years. They could also sign Ousmane Dembele from Barcelona. Apparently, TalkSport are saying simply to keep hold of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I mean, okay, but Dembele was he 80 million, 120 million? Was that the price that Barcelona paid for him originally? So he's obviously a very good player who just hasn't quite worked out yet because of injury. And, you know, it can be difficult trying to win over Leo Messi. Would this be a brilliant signing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you bring him in, you put him on the left, you move Aubameyang into the centre, and I'm sorry, Alexander Lacazette, but it's a place on the bench for you.
Not having the whole Lacazette out thing, which seems to be a bit of a trend going at the moment. I think he's been brilliant to conclude the season, and there is other rumours doing the rounds that Arsenal are willing to offload Lacazette to potentially strengthen in other areas. Not having that whatsoever, I think he is vital actually to that front three for Arsenal. There's nothing wrong with Aubameyang on the left flank. I'm interested to see what's the exact appeal here, that to keep Aubameyang happy, they need to bring in a striker who, like, okay, he has been injured, but he hasn't been amazing either at times as well for Barcelona recently. Like, Barcelona want to get Lautaro Martinez, and selling Dembele might be the only way to make that happen.
That's the transfer market. I was checking the exact transfer fee. They reported as 124 million.
For Dembele. Mm. Yeah, a quality player, obviously has had injury problems, and the worry is it's hamstring problems, and he's such a speedy player that...
They eventually, you know, Arsenal's a perfect club where they're not going to have any long-term problems, any issues like that, are they? They've got a long track record of fixing those issues for players.
Yeah, we've barely seen him this season. Like, I don't recall seeing him play at any point, really. Like, a couple of Champions League appearances,
yeah,
maybe.
I think when he was fit, they were trying to get him in. A couple of things that I've got to mention as well. Guendouzi looks like he's going to rejoin Unai Emery, and Lucas Torreira is on his way out as well. So Arteta has been given the opportunity here to bring in, bring out, and to have a cull in the same way that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been trying to have a cull and has been slowly getting there, you know, weeding out the contracts that are the ruination of the dressing room, weeding out the characters that are the ruination of the dressing room. What does it say about Mikel Arteta that he's being allowed to do this, Phil?
Well, I think the fact that they won the FA Cup gives them more opportunity to do that now. He can basically turn to the owners and say, you know, I've just won you a trophy. And you know, I see a lot of people saying that, look at their league table position. But don't forget, when he took over, that spell that Freddie Ljungberg had, he brought them down the table even further. So I think Arteta's done a good job. I think you can see there's a definite plan in place. Looking at that team that started against Chelsea the other day, obviously it needs improvement. Kieran Tierney was part of the three-man defence, but you actually want him as your left wing-back. And then you need to strengthen in central defence. I don't know if three at the back is what Arteta wants in the long term. Probably not, but he probably feels that with David Luiz, he needs to have another two players beside him. But, you know, David Luiz, for all the people that knock him, in a three-man defence actually works because, you know, he's a good ball player. He can spot a pass, and it takes a bit of pressure off him for defending. So, no, I think Arteta, that bit of silverware is definitely a massive plus, because I said he can prove
60-second round here. I just want a likelihood or unlikely at this. Chelsea right back Branislav Ivanovic says he will probably link up with his old boss Carlo Ancelotti at Everton. This is according to The Sun. Probably slotting in as a centre back at this stage of his career, if at all. But could this have any ramifications for Seamus Coleman at right back, and is this going to happen?
I don't think it'll have any impact on Seamus Coleman's position. I don't think it's good business for Everton. A 36-year-old, you know, looking at the end of Everton season, they certainly looked a bit...
That's what they needed,
Phil.
Lacking
ideas. They don't need a 36-year-old. They need some fresh blood in there.
Someone slow and who used to be good, clogging up the opportunities for the young lads coming through. That's exactly what they need. Newcastle are eyeing a double swoop for Bournemouth's Norwegian striker Josh King and Welsh midfielder David Brooks after the Cherries were relegated, it says here, according to The Telegraph. Is this the best course of action for Newcastle?
They'd be two good signings. Brooks in particular. Obviously, we didn't see much of him this season because of the injury that he suffered. But what we saw of him in his first season, he looked very good. With Newcastle, they're just stuck in limbo because Steve Bruce wasn't a popular choice as manager. If you look at where they finished a point worse off than last season. But, you know, the way it was portrayed, because Rafa was a hero to the Magpies, their supporters. And, you know, they're just waiting for this takeover to happen.
I think I was very surprised that Steve Bruce did very well. I thought that Newcastle were going to get in because I thought Steve Bruce was a bad manager. I thought he did very well. And I think that Brooks in particular was considered one of the best young players in English football over the last couple of seasons. So if he gets a full season and plays well, there'd be no reason why they couldn't progress, even despite the fact they have one of the worst owners in England. Right, that is Deal or No Deal for another day. It's in the books.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training on a driving home, I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like, I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.